This is Spinning on Air. We're listening to some music by Sufjan Stevens, known for his songs, but all throughout the albums he's been releasing, there have been instrumental passages and a real ear for orchestration and the color of different instruments. And there was even an all-instrumental album, which was actually Sufjan's second album, The Year of the Rabbit.
Oh, actually, it's called Enjoy Your Rabbit.
Enjoy Your Rabbit. Well, as listeners can tell, Sufjan is here in the studio with me. Here to correct me, otherwise he'll just be quiet. But he's going to correct my grammar and my specifics, so we'll see. But no, Sufjan is joining me once again here on Spinning on Air. Welcome, Sufjan. I'm glad you could come back.
Thanks for inviting me.
And we're going to preview some of the music that you've composed that will be performed at the Brooklyn Academy of Music in November. Sold out shows already. So there must be a lot of folks out there who are wondering what that music sounds like. They get their chance to have a preview of two of the movements of the BQE. The Brooklyn Queens Expressway is your inspiration for these instrumental compositions. And we've been running a rehearsal of the ensemble here in the WNYC studio with performances coming up in this hour, and it's sounding great. So that's coming up. And as we get ready for that, we've selected a few pieces from your albums, Sufjan, that are instrumentals. Some of these pieces that in some cases are short and in other cases are obviously an important element to you in a given album of songs, is to have these breaks of orchestral or instrumental music. And we'll talk about your thoughts behind them after we hear this little suite of pieces by Sufjan Stevens on WNYC.
Thank you.
We've been listening to pieces by Sufjan Stevens, who joins me here in the WNYC studio. We've heard from several different albums from Michigan and from Illinois and from The Avalanche as well. All of them albums that are rich with imaginative songs, but also with passages of orchestral instrumentation. And even in cases where it's Sufjan himself playing all the instruments and overdubbing them, you've always clearly wanted to be an orchestra.
Yes.
It's true.
Well, in some ways it's true. I mean, I think I started in the orchestra. I started in the band playing the oboe. And then I played in the orchestra in college, played the oboe. So I think I have this sort of familiarity with that experience, that kind of ensemble and all of the different instruments and the different colors and the different voices. And I have a little bit of a experience with the repertoire of the amateur orchestra from going to music school and, you know, playing in the university. And I think as a songwriter, when I started to write songs, I kind of gave a lot of that up. Wasn't really interested in the oboe anymore and was more interested in the guitar, you know, and writing songs on the guitar. But I've carried with me, I think all along through these years, that experience of playing in a larger ensemble, and I've obviously incorporated a lot of those ideas from the orchestra into my own music.
Well, even from your first album, The Sun Came, mm-hmm. Is that the title? Can you correct me on that, or is it A Sun Came?
I think
Came?
It's A Sun Came, but
okay.
I don't think it matters anymore. The Sun Came is cooler.
But right from the start, from that first album, the instrumentation was really imaginative. And if it wasn't on an orchestral scale, there was still obviously a sense of orchestra to
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure where that came about. I think it was my infatuation with many different instruments, with the woodwinds and with the drums and with the piano and various keyboard instruments. And a lot of that first album is really an exercise in just experimenting with different instruments on my own when I was at school.
Do you learn some of these instruments just for their color
mm-hmm.
and for their feel?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever really mastered an instrument. I've just learned it enough to utilize it in a particular way according to a vision that I have in the song. So, you know, I learned the oboe just from being in school and from taking lessons. But from that, I was able to learn the flute and the recorder because they're similar, you know, they're in similar keys and they have similar fingerings.
Mm-hmm.
And when I learned the piano, I was able to then play more like mallet instruments and keyboard instruments, percussive instruments. And then the guitar as well led to the banjo. And so all these sort of different schools of instruments have always taught me a lot about writing and arranging and composing, sort of in my own strange little amateur way.
Mm-hmm. And your piece, The BQE, is going to be performed at the Brooklyn Academy of Music in the Next Wave Festival. So I'm guessing that at some point the Brooklyn Academy of Music said, Sufjan, we'd like to invite you to do something here. And
yeah.
Don't know if perhaps they had a night of songs in mind, but you took that opportunity to create a suite of instrumental pieces.
Right. When one of the artistic directors, Joe, invited me to be part of the festival, I think he was very open to whatever I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And but he was hoping I would be singing because he knew that was probably what people would want. And the only stipulation was that I had to write a piece of music, you know, around 25 minutes long, and it had to be, or a series of songs, you know, that would add up to 25 minutes of music.
Mm-hmm.
And the only real stipulation was that it had to be about Brooklyn.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I think that's because the Next Wave Festival is 25 years old this year, and they've been sort of an institution in Brooklyn for a long time, and so I just think that was sort of the theme, you know, that they gave me.
And it makes sense to ask that of you, since you've spent several albums writing songs about different places.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I have a preoccupation with setting and the American setting, but I find it difficult to write about where I am here and now, so I don't generally write about the environment in which I reside. So that's why I haven't written a lot about Brooklyn or New York. So this was a real challenge for me to conceptualize and realize for this piece But it was very easy to choose a topic because the expressway is something that's just so inorganic and so unnatural and so unlike everything else about Brooklyn that it just seemed like an alien, you know, in a foreign land. And that's kind of how I feel sometimes. So I think maybe I felt familiar with the sort of the story of the BQE, and that's why it became sort of an interesting subject for this piece.
Have you read The Power Broker, the book all about Robert Moses?
Well, I'm reading it right now, but it's over 1,000 pages long, and there's so much information there that's kind of overwhelming, and also it's so exhausting to read all these details and anecdotes about Robert Moses' rise to power, and you know, there's not a lot about the Brooklyn Queens Expressway in that book. Because there were bigger, more serious, more controversial projects, you know, that he was building in his destructive path. and it's also a very bleak kind of a biography. So I didn't want to get too involved in the sort of the heaviness and bleakness of bad urban planning. So there's I think part of my project with the BQE was, I guess, to beautify, I guess, is that a word? The beautification process?
I guess it is.
There's sort of glorify in sort of its weirdness and its ugliness, this expressway, and find ways to make it beautiful.
And just as in a song, you've got not only the music and the colors of the orchestration of the music, but you've got the narrative of words. In this piece, when it's presented, it will have the music and the orchestra, but another element of film. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I spend a lot of time with cameraman, my friend Ruben. We spent a lot of time with him filming the BQE and walking up and down it and driving up and down it.
Did you get into that process knowing what you wanted to document, or did you kind of go with the camera just to find out what was there to see?
I think a lot of it was just going, not really quite sure what we were going to discover. So it was a learning experience, and it was about observation, about seeing things in a new way, because I'm so familiar with the BQE. I'm around it all the time. I've driven on it 100 times or 200 times, and I know a lot about it, but I was so used to seeing it just sort of like a functional, sort of ugly, you know, expressway, you know, running through Brooklyn. I never really saw the sort of the details of it up close. So we're very strategic sometimes, where we would decide we wanted to do driving sequences, and we'd want to film underneath it, and we want to film from different apartment buildings. But sometimes we would just kind of go out and just kind of film without really knowing what we were doing.
Is the film shown throughout the performance of the music?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a pretty tricky thing, because inevitably, if you go to a bar and there's a TV on, everyone's looking at the TV. Mm-hmm. And if there's ever music presented with a visual element like film, film immediately and inescapably takes priority over the music.
I'm really scared about that element, because I'm not a big fan of films, and I'm not a big fan of film music. So this has been a real challenge to try to navigate through that process without sort of manipulating or overstimulating the viewer.
So you've held back a little bit in the filmmaking from being as involving as a conventional film might be.
Yeah, it's not narrative at all. There are no characters. There's no story. It's very matter of fact. It's very mundane. It's almost like a series of photographs. It gets more and more involved as the piece goes on, and it gets more elaborate. But it almost becomes almost like design illustrations for the music. And I don't see this as being a film with musical accompaniment. I see it as being a symphonic piece with film accompaniment. So the film is sort of an afterthought. It's not necessary, but I think it's going to help augment some of the kind of the characteristics of the expressway through the music and the visuals together.
Mm. And I suppose the visuals will be an important component of linking the music to the Brooklyn Queens Expressway.
Because
the music is beautiful and exciting, and not necessarily would it evoke, the BQE, no. if you just heard the music alone?
Yeah, I mean, when I set out to write it, I was thinking about, should I be very literal and try to simulate the experience of driving on the expressway? But I think that would be masochistic, and it would be painful for the listener, because the expressway, you know, has absolutely no redeeming values at all. It's very ugly. It's in disrepair, constant construction and traffic jams, and it's, you know, a source of pollution and noise, and it's dividing neighborhoods and creating sort of these weird alcoves of ghettos underneath, all along with parking lots and construction sites. And
you haven't tried to evoke these different neighborhoods in your music.
No. Right? Yeah. The music isn't really literal like that. I think it's more of an abstraction, more of like a philosophical sort of musical dissertation on the notion of the expressway through a village or through a city. Mm-hmm. So I've sort of taken the BQE out of its context in so many ways and have decided to approach it as sort of a philosophical conundrum, like this idea of mass transit or mass movement, you know, an artery of traffic going through a series of little neighborhoods and villages, which is essentially what Brooklyn is. It's just sort of developed into this metropolis. And the expressway is an afterthought. You know, it wasn't... There's nothing natural about it. It doesn't follow old sort of cow paths or pastures or rivers or anything.
Yeah.
You know, it just sort of is a very, I don't know, efficient and bullish kind of kind of, you know, modern construction.
I'm speaking with Sufjan Stevens about his new project, the BQE, and he's got an orchestra in WNYC's studio getting ready to play some excerpts from this work. And we'll have that in a moment here on 93.9 WNYC and WNYC.org. I've posted photos from the session in the usual place on Flickr.com. You can go to Flickr, FLICKR.com/photos/spinningonair. Also, I posted a video from the session on YouTube on Thursday night, and in about a 24-hour period, there were over 6,000 views of the thing, and it was the number 2 most linked music video on YouTube. So there is excitement about Sufjan's work, and you can hear more coming right up and see more either at Flickr.com or YouTube. We have links to both those things at our own website, WNYC.org. Once you go to the homepage, click on the page for more information on Sufjan Stevens and his orchestra Ride the BQE. And you can find those links, and if you like, leave a comment. WNYC is supported by Sony Pictures Classic, presenting Jimmy Carter, Man from Plains, a new film from Oscar-winning director Jonathan Demme about the private and controversial public life of the 39th president. Official selection, Toronto Film Festival, now playing. And WNYC is supported by The New School, hosting a panel on bipartisan health care reform, October 29th, with Senators Bob Bennett, Richard Burr, and Ron Wyden, and Congressman John Conyers, moderated by Bob Kerry. More at News School. Actually, it says News School, but I think it should say more at newschool.edu/healthcare. I'm David Garland. This is Spinning on Air. My guest is Sufjan Stevens, who has been on the program a few times before and returns this time with a whole orchestra in tow, about 10 instrumentalists playing flutes and clarinet, oboe, violins, cello. There's a trombonist, a trumpeter, and Sufjan will play guitar as part of the ensemble in the first piece and piano in the second. And Sufjan, the first part that we're going to hear from the BQE is part 3 of a total of 7, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah, there's 7 movements total.
And each has a different character in terms of what you wanted to accomplish with it?
Yeah, they've sort of different expressions of themes and evoking kind of different feelings, and they all are seamlessly pieced together. I don't think there's a lot of breaks in the music, but they have definite diversions. Yeah, this one, the third one is, I think, the moment that we are actually driving on the expressway. We start seeing the views from the elevated expressway through Brooklyn. And so it has sort of a very kind of whimsical, kind of constant, perpetual motion feeling. You know, it's constant movement.
All right. Well, we're going to hear it performed here in the WNYC studio. The microphones have been placed by our engineer, Rob Christensen, and his helper, Paul Schneider. And Michael Atkinson is conducting this ensemble with Sufjan Stevens on the guitar and a whole orchestra in our studio with him here on Spinning on Air. Here's part three of the BQE. Thank you. a performance here in the WNYC studio by an ensemble performing music by Sufjan Stevens. Sufjan playing the guitar, lots of other instrumentalists, as you could hear. The conductor is Michael Atkinson. And it's been fun to squeeze the orchestra into our studio, probably the biggest project I've ever had in here for spinning on air, but it's sounding wonderful. So thanks again to engineer Rob Christensen and to Paul Schneider as well. And Sufjan is here with me. Sufjan, did you sit at home and write out all these parts by candlelight yourself? Or how did you go from your musical ideas to having music on music stands for all these orchestral members?
I basically just sat at home and wrote everything out with a little help from the computer. I've been using Sibelius, you know, to do my charts.
It's one of the standard music notation programs.
Yeah. I had been doing arrangements for years and writing them out by hand and hiring some other people to help me streamline them and put them into the program. But it's just so tedious for me, and my penmanship is so bad. And the scores, when written out, never really looked very beautiful or very inspiring. So I decided to use the program from the very beginning. So I started working on this in Sibelius.
Is that a program in which you can do your composing, or is it more for notation?
It's all notation, yeah. Uh-huh. It's all notation. And you just kind of learn the idiosyncrasies of the program, but it's pretty much just like drawing it in, but it's you use the keyboard. Mm-hmm. And I write a lot of the ideas in the piano, and then I would sort of just transcribe them for the different instruments. So yeah, it was painstaking and very challenging and time consuming because I'm very slow at this, but I wanted to do it myself from the very beginning.
Was it fun?
It was really fun. It was a different kind of experience, obviously, than writing songs. Because previously, my experience with songwriting has been to illustrate a certain musical idea on the guitar or in the vocal line, and then to record it onto tape or onto the computer, and then do multiple overdubs. And that's how I would arrange a piece.
Mm-hmm. So you'd start with the basic, the voice and the guitar, mm-hmm. and the orchestration would build up from there.
And I would always be hearing the music. It would be responding to the recording, you know, and to the parts. Whereas this experience was all hypothetical. It was all notes on the page. So I wasn't really getting the kind of musical feedback that I get with my own songs.
Well, I know I heard you and conductor Michael Atkinson talking about, oh, maybe we should reassign that part to the clarinet and this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So there must be quite a process that happens after you've imagined that the orchestration will work and then you hear it played and you have to adapt it. Huh?
I mean, the piece doesn't resemble what it was originally. It's changed so much.
Really? In what ways?
Well, I think it's a lot more complicated than I had intended it to be.
Huh.
And I had always thought that it was going to be kind of a more streamlined, cool pop piece, you know, with a few ensemble participants. But it very quickly became sort of a larger orchestration, and it became more of a symphonic piece with the band accompanying the orchestra. So it sort of was reversed.
Hmm. And for our studio performances today, you have an ensemble of 10 musicians.
Yeah.
When you're on the stage of the Brooklyn Academy of Music, how many people will be playing?
There'll probably be over 30.
Wow.
Yeah. So this was a very pared down, this is sort of a small chamber group
mm-hmm.
compared to what we'll have.
Will there be drums and everything?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, we're missing, in the studio here, we're missing a lot of more brass and strings, and there'll be drums and bass and things. So it's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really fun, and obviously it's been a real challenge for me, and I've been working very closely with Mike Atkinson, the conductor, on the parts, and he's been really, really helpful. I don't think I would have been able to do any of this without having someone like him involved.
And he's working on a project to transcribe for string quartets some of the earlier instrumental pieces you've composed.
Right. He and some other people are writing these arrangements based on the Animals of the Chinese Zodiac, the album of mine that's an electronic album. And they've been taking these songs and kind of rewriting them for the quartet.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's been really fun.
And in the BQE, there's you say there are drums and bass and all that. Are they sort of throughout? Are we missing them in the pieces that you're performing here today, or do those elements come and go?
Yeah, they would be playing in some of these movements. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
There's a lot of instruments missing. I mean, this arrangement that we've done in the studio, it's a sort of a alteration, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely an altered arrangement. So,
all right. I'm speaking with Sufjan Stevens, and the orchestra is ready to play one more part, part 6 from the BQE. And if we were on the expressway with part 3, which we heard a moment ago, where are we on this part, Sufjan?
I think by this point we've exited the BQE and we start getting a sense of the landscape of the expressway, and we're getting these sort of wild night landscapes of the BQE and of Brooklyn and Manhattan. So it's this movement seems to sort of take a break from all the driving and to start just looking at the panorama.
Hmm. And again, what Sufjan is describing is the film element that will be shown when these works are performed at the Brooklyn Academy of Music in November. Here on your radio, you've got the music. Sufjan playing the piano for this piece and the rest of the orchestra conducted by Michael Atkinson here on WNYC. Another performance in WNYC's studio by a whole bunch of people playing the music of Sufjan Stevens. We heard part 6 from his composition, The BQE. Is the title of it The BQE or just BQE? Or What
I think
is
it's
the,
the BQE.
Okay.
You could call it the Brooklyn Queens Expressway.
All right.
I guess. But yeah, I've just been calling it the BQE.
And first of all, thank you for these wonderful performances. It sounds great. And thanks, too, to Rob Christensen and Paul Schneider, our engineers for this session here on Spinning on Air. A part of the presentation of the BQE at the Brooklyn Academy of Music will be Hula Hoopers. Is that right?
That's right.
How do they fit in?
Yeah, they're kind of the main stars of the piece.
Both in film and on stage.
Yeah, there's Hoopers in the film and then there's Hoopers on stage. And they're not in all of it. They're just in parts of it. But when I started thinking about the piece and writing it, I was thinking about patterns of traffic and the movement of many cars in a line and the way that expressways take a linear kind of path and that they're basically an artery between points A and B.
Mm.
And I was kind of really struggling with that whole concept, the idea of just a straight line. And I had been taking some hula hoop classes.
You had
to learn to hoop. Because it's a very interesting, you know, it's a very interesting kind of sport. And I was really interested in this sort of idea of the circular, perpetual motion of the hoop. And it's in constant sort of antagonism to this notion of forward motion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a perpetual motion that stays in place. And the experience of the hoop seems very, it's a meditation of sorts. And the circle and the hoop has become like a symbol for many different things. You know, like the circle of life and the calendars and astrology. And I was thinking of whirling dervishes and this sort of ecstatic, sort of spiritual kinds of experiences where you circle around. And the hoop for me became that kind of experience. And it was had nothing to do with sort of the car, the automobile, and traffic, except that the car is sort of moved through the sort of mechanisms of the simple machine of the tire. And I kept thinking about the tire being circular and the hoop being circular and these two things having a very close symbolic relationship. And yet they have very, very different repercussions. Like the experience of driving in a car in traffic on the BQE and the experience of being in the hoop and you know, and doing this kind of dance and having the hoop kind of go all over your body. And it was a very like personal and very kind of unique and spiritual and sensual kind of experience. So that's kind of where I'm pitting those two experiences together. I'm like pitting the hoopers against the cars in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just saw the hooper as being sort of the heroes of the piece. So,
oh, that's fun because it's sort of this poetic leap of you had something else going on in your life and you tried to combine mm-hmm. it with this thing and then strange associations are created and there are echoes and ramifications to it. That's fun.
It was definitely a real jump, a creative jump to try to reconcile the hula hoop with the automobile. But I think visually and musically, they all are sort of make sense now. Like I see them as being very much part of the same story. And I see that the hoop as being sort of like this symbol for the BQE. You know, it's sort of the solution to the BQE. Because the BQE is a straight line that sort of cuts through and severs neighborhoods. And it has a certain kind of utility that I think is so unhuman, you know. And the hoop is all about the human. It's sort of like the revolutions, like planets around the sun. You know, the hooper is the sun. And it's a very kind of like spiritual human experience to be in the hoop. So that's kind of what it's about, I guess. It's a meditation, I guess.
Sufjan Stevens has created the BQE. There will be performances at the Brooklyn Academy of Music involving 30 musicians, film, and hula hoopers. This is WNYC, found at 93.9 on the FM dial in the New York City area and heard worldwide through our website, wnyc.org. I'm David Garland, bringing you Spinning on Air each week. Sufjan Stevens has joined me a few other times on the program, and you can hear those shows in the Spinning on Air archive at wnyc.org, or you can find them through my website, davidgarland.com. Go to the radio page there. And next week on Spinning on Air, my guest will be British songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Robert Wyatt, talking about his new album, Comic Opera. WNYC is supported by UBS, bringing the UBS Verbier Festival Orchestra to New York, performing at Avery Fisher Hall on November 15th and 16th. As founder and main partner of the orchestra, UBS celebrates the art of collaboration. You and us, UBS. And WNYC is supported by Mackenzie Childs, offering American-designed, handcrafted tableware and home furnishings created by over 50 artisans, with a flagship store in Manhattan at 14 West 57th Street. More at 212-570-6050. This is Spinning on Air. I'm David Garland in the studio with Sufjan Stevens. Let's give credit where credit is very richly due. Let me name the musicians who've performed on Spinning on Air today. Tim Albright played trombone, Kyle Resnick trumpet, Jody Redidge cello, Hiroko Taguchi viola, Susie Perlman and Kiko Enomoto both played violins, Hideaki Aomori played the clarinet, Arthur Sato the oboe, and the flutists were John McMurtry and Sato Mughalian. And Sufjan Stevens played the acoustic guitar on the first piece we heard and piano on the second. And I used a simple camera to make a video of a performance of part six of the BQE, and that's been posted on YouTube, where you can find it by searching for Sufjan WNYC. And in case you don't know, Sufjan is spelled S-U-F-J-A-N. Sufjan, it's interesting. As a songwriter, as we've kind of hinted at, you're always dealing with the music and some sort of extra musical topic, which is whatever the words might be about. And for the BQE, you're dealing with the music and the visuals that document the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. And there are these two sort of opposite terms in the world of music, absolute music and programmatic music. Absolute music means it's not about anything but the music itself. There's no topic being described or depicted or evoked in the music. And programmatic music is the other end, where it's meant to tell a story. It's a narrative of one kind or another. And even songs are sort of programmatic music sometimes. I'm just sort of interested in this topic of music that's built around an extra musical theme.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting distinction between absolute and programmatic, because I think that a piece can be both.
Mm-hmm.
It can have a narrative sort of meaning or narrative kind of thrust, but it also can just be what it is and exist on its own terms. And I worry sometimes that the programmatic element of my music is too premeditated, you know, it's too designed and too distinguished, you know, in a lot of ways. But this piece is sort of, it's evoking a certain kind of experience and evoking a particular monument, you know, an expressway. But it's also not doing that at all in reality, because mm-hmm. it's such a fantasy world that I've created.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's kind of where I find that the programmatic music starts to sort of become another thing. It becomes a sort of a place of fantasy, you know, and that's what I really like about programmatic music, is that it's so dramatic, you know, it's such an augmented kind of experience that it can never really convey the experience of the actual lived, you know, experience, the everyday kind of experience, because that's a very kind of ordinary, mundane kind of thing. So, yeah.
And you've done something interesting in your 50 States project, where you declared that you were going to write an album for each of the 50 states. And that is such an easily understood goal.
Mm-hmm.
And yet your songs are not about, you know, come visit Vermont, it's a lovely yeah. place with green rolling hills. Your songs are a jump into some abstracted territory that refer back to your topic of a given state, of Michigan and Illinois, or the states you've done so far. And so while you've sort of announced to people that you're talking about the state, you end up talking a lot more about what it feels like to be part of a family, what it feels like to live in a place that's not as nice as it once was, and all these much more sort of ethereal and mm-hmm. abstract things.
Well, I think the thesis itself is, and the concept is just the fabric, obviously. It's just the surface. And my music is trying to get beyond the surface of that and somehow get into a deeper understanding of place and setting and meaning and home and all these different things. And what does it mean to be American, and what does it mean sort of to be a postmodern American, or to be part of this age and this era? And you have to reckon with all the previous ages, and you have to reckon with your own personal experience. And today you also have to sort of reckon with the greater global experience, like what's going on in the world. And I think a lot of these things are always pushing at me, and I feel a little beaten up sometimes by kind of all the responsibilities that I feel I have just as a person, as a human being, you know, let alone as an artist.
Responsibilities of what kind?
Well, responsibilities to, you know, the world at large, to my neighbor, or to suffering in the world, you know, injustice and things like this. And I find that my music is sort of always trying to cope with that responsibility. And even the BQE, which isn't really a very personal piece of music at all, it sort of feels very personal at times, because it's about wanting to know what kind of car should I drive, or should I even have a car? You know, what business do automobiles have in the city? And then you think about commerce and how the automobile is really important for the economy and things like this. And you think, well, maybe I should be riding my bike, and maybe I should be walking to work, or I don't know, maybe I should just stay at home and watch TV. Maybe I shouldn't expend so much energy worrying about these things, and maybe I should be reading more books, and maybe I shouldn't be writing about the expressway. Maybe I should be writing about the natural landscape, which is slowly fading away, you know, with all the extinct birds and everything. So, yeah. That's the things that I worry about sometimes, the birds and
the
marshes.
These worries don't keep you from going back to writing songs,
no,
and writing music.
Well, I don't have a choice, you know. It's not something I decide to do. I think people who write music, they write music because it's necessary. It's their way of talking, communicating.
Mm. But at one point, you at least imagined that you might become a writer, a prose writer, right? Or did you always figure that would tie in with music?
Well, no. I always wanted to publish and maybe teach writing and be a writer and be part of that literary community, because I think I had an obsession with the sort of a romantic obsession with the literary community and being a writer.
Mm.
But I think that didn't happen because I was too easily distracted by music, because for me it's sort of the easier art form. I don't know why, it just feels...
Well, that sounds funny coming from someone who obviously puts so much work into his art.
Yeah.
You're not doing it because it's easy, Sophia.
No, I know that's true. I know that's true.
And after the BQE is performed at the Brooklyn Academy of Music in November, then maybe you'll have a chance to take it on the road or not.
I don't know if that's possible, because it's such a big ordeal.
Mm-hmm. And such a large-scale ensemble,
yeah,
and everything. Yeah,
I think I'm going to just wait on that. I'm not sure yet what I'm going to do with the BQE. I mean, it might be a total flop. People might be booing and throwing vegetables at us.
The shows have already sold out. I think they're going to enjoy it.
Well, that'll be 2,000 people throwing tomatoes.
Each of the three notes.
6,000 people total. 6,000 tomatoes. No, I'm not sure what's going to happen with this piece. It's very strange to work so hard on something that just has a very short life.
Mm-hmm.
We're definitely going to have to record it just for posterity. And also so we can hear it and see if we need to change it. And I'd like to edit the film in a way that it feels more complete and finished. Because
there's a DVD on the horizon. Yeah. I would guess.
Huh? Yeah, maybe a DVD, or maybe I'll decide to do more shows.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be fun. It's been a lot of work. I think I've put more work into this project than anything else previously. But the final results are so short-lived, you know, it'll be...
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
It'll be too bad to just sort of let it be what it is.
And this is not permanently veering you away from composing songs, right?
No. No, I've been writing a lot of songs.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm still writing songs.
What state are you writing about?
The state of affection. The state of bliss, you know.
Wow. Okay. I look forward to hearing those. Sufjan Stevens, thank you for joining me here on Spinning On Air and for bringing the whole orchestra in. It's been real fun to have them in the studio and to hear the sound of the BQE, at least in this, even as big as the orchestra is. You say it's toned down or cut mm-hmm. down, arranged down for a smaller ensemble than we'll be performing when the performances come up in November. And we are going to conclude with a little more of your instrumental music from the Enjoy Your Rabbit album. This was your second album, right?
It was.
Yeah. First album full of songs. And then you dove into instrumental music. Kind of a surprising move.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing it again.
Yeah.
I've given up songs for the orchestra.
All right.
It's an old pattern.
Well, this one was recorded mostly not with a bunch of musicians, but on a bunch of instruments all played by you, right? Mostly
yeah.
electronic.
Yeah, and a lot of computer sounds, too.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of fun. Let's hear a bit of this as we conclude Spinning On Air here on WNYC. Again, Sufjan, thanks.
Thank you.